Welcome to another thrill-packed edition of Unite, i.e. Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton with the Redlands Tea Party Patriots and the Unite, i.e. Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, where our mission is to unite freedom-loving, America-loving Americans and magnify our strength and effectiveness in making and keeping America great, free, and prosperous. And we see every day, every hour, the need for all of us to step up and fulfill the obligations of our most important political office if we want to keep that aforementioned great, free, and prosperous country. One great way to do that is to connect with our Unite IE groups. We have more than 40 of them around the Inland Empire. And if you go to our website, unite-ie.com, you can find a list of the groups where and when they meet, the description of what they do, and get involved because you're more effective working with your fellow patriots, and it's more fun. You make friends along the way, and you feel like you're not fighting alone. So please go check that out. As the little different bumper music today from Texas, and that's because our guest today, Paul Chabot, you may remember him. He lived in California. He ran for Congress here twice. I do remember him saying he came into do an interview once. He spent his entire morning doing his cold calling, which is part of what they have to do. And he says, no real American in his right mind would run for Congress. But let the record reflect that Paul Chabot ran for Congress twice here in California. And he has since moved to Texas, and which is why I have reached out to him and asked him to be on the show, because one is like a lot of Californians are moving back to America in Texas and other places. And two, politically, there's some real interesting stuff going on in Texas. It's not all, you know, it's not like all, it's not a panacea of conservatism back there in Texas. So with that, just welcome to the show, Paul.
Greg, it's great to be with you, your listeners. I will say it's been about 7 years now that I've been out here in Texas. I miss you all. I miss the team. I miss the grassroots. I miss the motivation. I miss the sincerity. I cut my teeth in politics with people that you are surrounded with. And of course, the late ones that have passed on that have really shown us the light. And I will say that, my God, had it not been for the experiences and the fight of what we learned out there, I would probably have the wool pulled over my eyes out here in Texas. And I'm excited to get into a lot of the stuff that we're seeing here in Texas, but how it relates to California. There's a lot of crossover here. And look, there's problems in all of our red states, and it is not a like you said, a perfect place. There are problems, and I think you'll be surprised by some of them. So I'll turn it back over to you, my friend.
Yes. Now, surely you don't miss us enough to move back.
Well, look, I tell folks, because I've got a business, Conservative Move, helping folks move out of blue to red. It's natural to miss where you were born and raised. When I was in California as a kid, Nixon, Reagan, Pete Wilson, this was a Republican state. At the flip side, guess what? Texas was a Democrat state. So they almost flipped, in a half a generation here politically. But I do miss, I think it's normal, and I miss, family, friends, weather, where I grew up. I miss the commonality. And so when people do move, certainly there's a gleeful part of it, lower taxes, lower gas, lower regulations. Your kids are probably, enthralled in the new environment. But as adults, we're leaving behind memories, places where we were married, went to school. So I think it's natural for us to miss those. And that's why I sincerely mean I miss my home. And I miss you all because you're on the front lines. And I've got some exciting things to share with you that I think will be motivational to your listeners here.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned taxes. There's no state income tax. There's a huge difference in cost of living. If you were to some statistics here that the cost of living in California is 39.8% higher than that that's the national average. The cost of living in California is 53% higher than Texas. And while California has a higher median income, adjusted for this cost of living, Texas median income is 18.9%.
Yeah.
Greater than California. So yeah. it's not just the money that's coming in, it's what it costs to live there.
Right. Yeah, it is fascinating. That was one of the first things I noticed moving here. We're on average about $1.50 less per gallon of gas. My utility bills here in the summertime, you know, we've got a relatively large house similar to the house we had in Rancho Cucamonga. I remember our summer electricity bills in Rancho, like $800 a month, which was nuts. Out here, I think the highest I paid is about $300. To register my vehicle, no matter how new or old it is, across the board in Texas, it's $78. Crime, obviously, we put people in jail and we try to keep them there. The governor in Texas just sent the National Guard, Texas DPS, into Austin to where the protests were happening and said, look, if you're going to act like this, get the hell off our campus, in so many words. But there are problems here. There's problems in every state. One thing, interestingly, that California did well, I think, was Prop 13. Here in Texas, our property values have skyrocketed, that it's beginning to price people literally out of their homes. And so there's this craziness happening in Texas where the government keeps taking in more and more money, and homeowners are saying, my house just doubled in value in 8 years, but my property taxes increased, doubled in a sense. That can't happen in California because of Prop 13, which was, by the way, a conservative effort and movement, which now the Democrats in California are trying to gut at the commercial and residential level. So there are things we can learn here in Texas when California was a red state to put in place here. And it's also things we don't want to learn or implement.
Sure. And that, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but that's an inherent problem of property taxes, is that you know, that property value can go way up, but your ability to pay the taxes doesn't go with it. So right. If you have an income tax, I'm not a fan of higher income taxes, but there's corresponding income.
Yeah.
If you have a sales tax, you may have a higher rate, which it's not a good idea, but at least there's a sale to go with that tax. Yeah. Property taxes is your income may be down or flat,
yeah.
but as you just said, because of the demand of supply and demand, the property values go up, and yeah, the property taxes do have that problem.
It is fascinating. Look, I think, by the numbers, here's what's interesting is you know, we help people move to a lot of different red states, and these red state natives, whether it's Idaho, Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, Texas, many of them are nervous about all these Californians moving to these red states because they're afraid that they're going to turn the state blue. And that's not the case. Data out of Idaho, out of Florida, out of Texas is actually the opposite. That by a 60-40 split, those of us that are moving to red states are voting Republican. In fact, here's what's fascinating and scary at the same time. In 2018, there was a big race here in Texas between U.S. Senator Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke, who, as you know, ran for a number of things. And the native, when you look at the exit polling data, just Google those four words, exit polling Beto Cruz. It shows you that more native Texans actually voted for the Democrats. That had it not been for the transplants that moved here and voted Republican, we would have a Democrat U.S. senator in Texas right now. So when I talk about how I miss you all and the training and the people, this is the message. You all are like a boot camp in California. Right. You are training people how to fight because they're not giving up. They're there and they're fighting and fighting and fighting. And then those that are moving for whatever reason it may be, friends, family, job, whatever it is, these people that are moving, Greg, oh my gosh, they are the fighters on the ground in these red states helping to make sure the Republican Party does not fall. So many leaders here throughout Texas that have gotten involved in politics are from blue states. And the reason is, you know, it's like a war. Do you want somebody to fight with you who's only been through training, or how about who's been through training and been on the battlefield? California is the battlefield every single day. And you know what the Democrats do. You know what the rhinos can do. And you've seen it. So it's the Paul Revere's, the cavalry that you all are training are actually helping to secure red states and keep them red. So by definition, we have a stronger union as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember the exact billboard, but it was kind of, if people from California going in and text, like, just keep going. And I remember the exact words of it, but is that they're culturally and politically and economically, because, where's that? Where a lot of that demand for housing is coming from people that are moving in.
It is. And here's the challenge. And this is where I understand the Texas frustration is you can sell your little shack in San Jose for $1 million. Come out here to Texas and pay cash for a beautiful mansion, under $500,000. But if you're a Texas native, you can't do that. So now you're competing with all these out-of-state buyers that are coming in, basically able to, pay cash for homes. So there is that sense of resentment. However, I will say our regulations are much lower, so we're able to build quicker. But I fear for Texas because the problem in Texas, honestly, not the Democrats. It is a blood sport out here between your true grassroots and the establishment in Austin with two or three political action committees that rifle and really stun away good grassroots candidates. However, that is changing right now in this cycle with a runoff happening next month across Texas.
Let me stop you there because we are going to get into Texas politics after the break here. But I want to ask you one other question. People that have, whether you have felt this as well, other California patriots that have moved or even visited Texas. I remember one, I won't say her name, but on her first trip to Texas to check things out, came back and was just the difference in the people. And her interactions with the people, just ordinary in the store or whatever, was just, she thought it was just a night and day difference. And I wonder if you have experienced the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when we moved here with our kids, the first day we moved in, all of our neighbors knocking on our door, bringing us baked goods. Now in California, if somebody knocks on your door with brownies, you're not going to eat them, right? You just got this preconceived notion that there's something wrong there. So people are nice here. The kids here address you as sir or ma'am. It's respectful across the board. A lot of churches, this camaraderie around it. There is this sort of Southern hospitality that you sense here. And you do see people taking the time to have conversations, much different than what we experienced just randomly out in the community in California, where you're fighting for a parking spot.
Yes. We don't have time to play it, and it's too visual, but Babylon Bee did a great series. There are four or five minute videos of portraying the experiences of a California couple moving to Texas.
I've seen those. Those are great.
Very first one, they're just moving in, the California couple, and the neighbor comes over, knocks on the door, and first of all, they're suspicious. He's like, who are you? Why are you here?
Yeah.
And then when they see a sidearm on him.
That's right. That's right. It's true. It happens. And that is a hilarious segment. They've done multiple of those for Babylon Bee.
Check that out. It's worth your time. But with that, let's stop here and hear from our sponsor, Ed Hoffman of United American Mortgage, the place to go for your real estate lending needs. Back after this.
Hi, this is Ed Hoffman with United American Mortgage and host of The Main Event right here on AM 590 The Answer. Mortgage rates are up, but credit card rates are way higher. And credit card balances have hit an all-time high as inflation puts the squeeze on everyone's budget, not to mention how auto loan rates and payments have gone through the roof. Let me point out, it doesn't matter how low your existing mortgage interest rate is if you can't make the payments on everything else. Are you wondering what to do? Do you need some financial strategy? Want to talk to someone who thinks like you? Call me at 855-640-2020. We'll discuss a strategy that works for you today and also considers what happens when the interest rates drop as we move into the inevitable recession. To have that discussion, call me toll-free at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020, or go to edhoffman.net and click on the United American Mortgage logo.
Ed Hoffman, NMLS ID number 9921. United American Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 1942. United American Mortgage Corporation is an equal housing lender and licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
AM 590, The Answer.
The stars at night. Big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. Greg Britton, Redlands Tea Party Patriots and Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, and coming to us deep from the heart of Texas. We have Paul Chabot, who ran for Congress out here and then moved he and his family to Texas. And we're talking about life in Texas. And now we're going to turn our attention to politics in Texas, which I think you had said either was on the air or our conversation off the air. The problem in Texas is not the Democrats. It's the moderate establishment Rhino Republicans.
100%. That is absolutely the problem here in Texas. It was very eye-opening to see this, and it is much like a blood sport. Everything is about money. I've been heavily involved in politics since I moved to Texas. And by the way, we all should be. People say, you know, we don't want to talk about politics, talk about economics. But everything is political because it impacts the quality of our lives. So what's fascinating here in Texas is, you know, I'm up in North Texas, which is north of Dallas and Collin County. Reminds me a lot of Orange County 20 years ago. But Austin is the center political hub for the state, just like D.C., and it is a swamp. And in that swamp, you have swamp creatures. You've got political action committees. These political action committees get a ton of money from a few wealthy donors, and they bankroll their candidates, and they destroy the grassroots candidates until this year. Mm-hmm. So we've got a number of solid grassroots candidates across the state right now running for state house that have made the runoff. Give you an example. We have a Texas Speaker of the House, and he is not a Republican by any stretch, but supported by fake Republican organizations. His challenger, good guy, who now is endorsed by the Attorney General, the Lieutenant Governor, and Trump, is probably going to beat this guy in the May runoff next month, and that's going to send shockwaves, because if you beat the Speaker, it's like taking out the king. Because that king controls so much of where the money goes into these races across Texas. And let me say this. We, in California, you've got a yearly GOP convention. Out here in Texas, it's every 2 years because we meet as a body, the legislators, every 2 years. And they're part-time, by the way. They've got other jobs, which is how it should be. They go back home to their families. So what I've learned out here is that the local grassroots Republicans in Texas only really control the Texas convention, but the priorities that come out of that convention are ignored by the moderates in Austin. And that's what's caused the civil war and revolution in the grassroots to begin to take out these moderates in Texas.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the speaker, and he's has blocked important things like school choice in Texas, and the recent primary in March. There were, I don't remember the number here, but there were a bunch of the Republicans that joined the Democrats in blocking that have been defeated, and more that are now in a runoff. And the speaker there, as I understand, shares power with the Democrats. He puts them in important positions and lets the Democrats block.
Yeah, great.
That were conservatives. Yeah,
that's exactly right. So we like to say Texas is a conservative state. No. We can only be so conservative, but you can't be that conservative when you've got a speaker who's a so-called Republican who's directly appointing Democrats to chair committees, and those Democrat committee chairs are killing conservative legislation. So it's done. Very few things get through. We should have stronger border security, school choice, much lower property taxes. And so there is a civil war happening right now, and the grassroots are winning. The other challenge here in California, you've got 58 counties. Here in Texas, you have over 250 counties. And so you have all these local GOP clubs, and it's very hard to organize that or to communicate because every single one is sort of autonomous. And so there is a lot that we have to do here that we can learn from California, especially in the Inland Empire, Unite IE, what you've done with Lebanon's Tea Party and beyond, about organizing and fighting and training and equipping.
Yeah, I mean, never mind beating the Democrats in California. If we could just beat the moderate establishment rhinos, that'd be something. And I'm reading here that in the March primary is, maybe we'll get to a three justices on the Court of Appeal in Texas, and these are big races, were defeated. Yeah. Six anti-school choice Republicans were defeated, and more are headed for runoffs, and we haven't talked about it yet, but the Dade Phelan, he's the speaker there, House impeached Ken Paxton, who's one of the best Republican state attorney generals, if not the best, in the country, and the case, once it went to the Texas Senate, totally fell apart. But yeah. he joined, and then for about 6 months, Ken Paxton was sidelined and unable to do his work. And nine Republicans who voted for that impeachment lost their renomination. So just the ability to take out these establishment Republicans is amazing and worthy of it. Wish we could do that out here.
Well, it is. And if you follow that race, Ken Paxton, who lives in my city here in McKinney, and his wife, Angela Paxton, who's a state senator, great people. And Ken Paxton, I think, really is the best attorney general in the state. Yesterday, I believe the Supreme Court, or this week, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Ken Paxton blocking here in Texas to allow mail-in voting for any reason whatsoever. You know, we're really trying to stop the failures of what's happened in other states. He's very active. But the Democrats and the so-called Republicans, rhinos, almost bankrupt the attorney general. He wasn't receiving a salary, and they're still not back paying him for the months where he did not have a salary. That's a very difficult way to deal with this. But those same organizations, Texas Lawsuit Reform and ART, Associate Republicans of Texas, those are the two big PACs I started out talking about. They were after Paxton, and they're after our grassroots candidates with millions of dollars. And that is what we're up against.
Sure. I mean, you have a lot of these, you know, Democrats that when Texas was a Democrat state, they just, okay, we see the winds changing, and we now call ourselves Republicans.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And look, I learned from you all about high density housing or stack and pack apartments. I see the same thing happening here in Texas. We're trying to wake up our grassroots to making sure we hold our elected council members accountable so they know what they're doing is not what communities want. And it's about activism and training and engaging. That is so critical. And we are, I'll say, a little behind.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have school choice yet. And you have to wonder, is not just Texas, is what there are 23 Republican trifecta states. The Republicans control the legislature, both houses, and their governor. And there are three more where there's a Democrat governor and a veto-proof Republican majority in the legislature. So why aren't there 26 states in America that have same-day voting on paper, photo ID, hand-counted?
Right. Yeah.
And there aren't. I mean, Florida's done some things that are good, but there's no state in the country that's done that. And I go, like, why? We have a. I'll leave it there. Kind of a rhetorical question is why we can't use our legitimate power when we're in office to advance our cause and advance our interests.
Yeah, I don't know specifically, but look, I'll tell you, in Texas, what I do like is when I go to vote, there's like four different stations I have to go through to show my ID and sign my name and match a signature and check my address. I mean, it's harder to vote here than it is to get on an airplane in how we go through the cycle here. However, we have so many days of early voting here, which is ridiculous and costs the taxpayer monies. Right now, as we speak, we have a municipal bond election and city council elections happening. But yet in 3 or 4 more weeks, we've got a runoff. In March, we had another election. We waste a lot of money on these elections and not focused. Our voter turnout here is very, very low. Voter apathy is a big deal in Texas, and it's probably one of the biggest states for voter apathy right now.
Hmm. Given what's happening, especially, and we'll talk about that in second half, the Democrat Party orchestrated invasion of America, which a lot of it was coming through Texas, less so now that they've done some things to strengthen their border there, is you would think, yeah, we got to do something. That would motivate people to, boy, we got to vote. I don't understand it. I don't understand it how 95% of Republicans this year are not going to vote. And even if you have to hold your nose, and if you're a moderate and vote for a MAGA, or if you're a MAGA and you have to hold your nose and vote for a moderate, you're better than the Democrats.
Absolutely. And that's what this boils down to. And it does boil down to our country.
All right. Let's briefly mention that Court of Appeal race, the races. Those justices ruled that the Texas Attorney General could not prosecute vote fraud, which left prosecution of Democrat vote fraud in Democrat counties to Democrat DAs.
Yeah. Yeah. So this goes to another point, right? Texas is a red state, but you've got a George Soros influence funding DAs. So look, every state's got big cities. Your big cities traditionally tend to be run by Democrats, which is Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio. However, by the way, the mayor of Dallas just flipped over to Republican about 3 or 4 months ago, which was a shock to all of us. But, you know, great. Politically, there's nothing in it for him. That city's blue. I get it. But to see a black mayor today stand up against their own party and say they're going to be a Republican is phenomenal. And we want to listen and see what happens out of Dallas, of all places. Fort Worth, another big city, kind of teeters on the brink. It's still considered Republican, but it could go the other way. If we lose two or three of these bigger counties, Texas goes blue. So the battleground is in here in North Texas where we are.
Yep. That's all the time we have in first half. Stay tuned for the exciting second half of Unite IE Radio. Back after this.
AM 590. The answer.
There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am gonna see. Nobody else could miss her, not half as much as me. She cried so when I left her, it like to broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never more apart.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton with the Redlands Tea Party Patriots and the Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, where our mission is to unite freedom-loving, America-loving Americans and magnify our strength and effectiveness in making and keeping America great, free, and prosperous, or as the O'Brien regime calls us, domestic extremists. If you're interested in getting involved, and we need to if we're going to keep that great, free and prosperous country, if you go to our website, unite-ie.com, there's a list of our more than 40 Unite IE groups around the Inland Empire, and you can find one that is near you or is doing things that have interest to you, and that's, you're not only more effective when you join with fellow patriots, it's more fun, and you make friends along the way. We're very pleased this week to have on the show Paul Chabot, who has, left California. He ran for Congress twice, and then he moved to Texas and his family there and got heavily involved in politics there as well, fulfilling his obligations. He also, you have a consulting firm, Chabot Strategies, and you have a company, conservativemove.com, which helps conservative Americans, escape from behind their blue curtains and freedom.
That's right.
In Texas and other states. So welcome back to the show, Paul.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be with you for the second half.
Okay. I'll turn our attention to the invasion of the country. And this is not what's going on is not just bad policy. It's not negligence. It's not lax. Lax is not being lax in your performing your obligations. This is a deliberate, conscious intention by the Democrat Party to open the borders for unlimited immigration from all over the world to stack the voting deck in their favor, as well as, for those who believe in they're following the Cloward Priven strategy at them, or that's close on the names, is basically to overload the system because these illegal aliens go on various social welfare programs and cost us far more than whatever taxes they may generate from working. And of course, when they work, they lower the wages of American workers and put American workers out of work.
Yeah.
So Texas was on the front line. So this was the thrust. This was the main point of the invasion. It's lessened somewhat now. So tell us what's happening there. Let's start with this. Living in Texas, can you see the effects of the invasion?
No, it's funny. When people think about the invasion on the border, we're a good 5 or 6 hours from the border here in North Texas, the Dallas area. We don't see the impact at all up here. What we do see is the massive amount of drug seizures on our highways that the sheriff is pulling off that's coming out of Mexico. But we see all the videos. We hear the stories. It looks like another country when you see what's happening along our border. A few things that I think are really important. Number one, Ronald Reagan in the 80s shut down the Mexican border when DEA agent Kiki Camarena was in Mexico as an attaché, was tortured and then killed by the drug cartels. Reagan did not open that border up again until those thugs were thrown under the border to our authorities for prosecution. I do not understand why, with all the harm that the cartels and the drugs and the fentanyl, et cetera, that are doing, sex trafficking, human trafficking, weapons smuggling, we do not shut down that border and make Mexico get serious again. Number two, we need to stop giving federal foreign aid to countries that don't enforce the law. There's no rule of law. The murder rate and corruption rate in Mexico is off the chart. And we have the ability to shut down the border. Now, in Texas, could our governor do a better job? Absolutely. He could literally shut it down if he wanted to. He has sent the Texas DPS police down there to do somewhat of a good job. But there's a better job that we could do. We're just lacking the political courage and shipping them off in buses to Martha's Vineyard. You know, that's kind of funny here and there, but it's a drop in the bucket to what is pouring across our border every single day.
Yes. How many of the illegals are staying in Texas versus how many are either being bused by Abbott and the government of Texas, or they're just on their own, or by DHS is moving them and spreading them around the country, probably in mostly Republican areas?
That's a great question. And I think that's a question that our government still can't answer to this day, because there is no accountability. There's guesstimates of what's coming across. But you got to think about the magnet cities and the magnet states. You know, in Texas, we don't give free benefits. So if I'm coming across the border into Texas, you know, through Guatemala up the way, where am I going to want to go? Well, you know, California, hey, your state gives free benefits and medical and others, and other states might be looking the same. However, you're starting to see even blue states, blue cities like New York City begin to go, hey, you know what? We've got a problem here. We can't keep taking in all these illegal immigrants. Well, then you got to magnify that as a conservative to the voting population and say, well, our country can't take this. So if a blue city can't take it, America can't take it. Let's get serious about the border and shut it down till we get this mess fixed.
Okay. Well, where I would differ is the regime is completely serious about the border. This is not an accident. This is not bad policy. This is not dereliction. It's a choice. That what's happening on the border is exactly what the regime wants to happen for stacking the voting deck, as well as just overburdening the system and forcing the point of the clobbered privilege strategy is to overwhelm the system, collapse the system, and then establish a new socialist, communist, what have you, dictatorship in the country because, well, we have a crisis. Well, we need the government to step in. So, yeah, it's not like we need to get serious. It's we need regime change here in America.
And when you think about that, some of the biggest organizations in the country, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, you would think, you know, should hopefully be out front and center speaking out against this. They're not. And to them and many of their other businesses, they look at it as cheap labor. And when you have your one of your biggest organizations in the nation not speaking out for the American worker, that is shameful.
Or it is, yeah. The business interests such as the Chamber of Commerce are they favor amnesty, they favor mass immigration. They want cheap labor. The law of supply and demand.
Yeah.
Applies to the labor market like it applies to every other market. And what they don't get is they're so myopic and short-sighted, they do not understand that cheap labor is not cheap. One, because they require welfare benefits, the cost of education and prison, everything, healthcare, get free healthcare, either by being on Medicaid, or they just show up at the emergency room and get free healthcare. And two, they vote Democrat. So the Democrats that impose all of these anti-business policies on you, they get the illegals when they have a chance to vote, either as illegals or they ever get citizenship and their children get citizenship, they're voting for those bad business policies you don't like. So labor is not cheap and they don't get that.
And when you're speaking about labor and the minimum wage to $20 an hour at fast food in California, remember that was pushed by SEIU, very powerful union. They just increased their union membership by another $500,000. Unions are one of the main reasons California turned into a Democrat state and is literally being destroyed and eaten out. Your middle class is vanquished out there. It's literally your coastal liberal elite and your inland working poor that are trying to survive. And so you have these two different universes of thinking, and it's about control. And our fear here in Texas is, even though we are a right to work state, we are beginning to see unions amped up. In the city right next to me in Frisco, there's an election this week, early voting, Tuesday's election day, where many city leaders have put out signs saying no to the union, right? No to the union, because the fire department is trying to unionize. We all like fire, but the problem is, even in good intentions, the union is going to take that to their ultimate degree, which is power, and the Democrats and them are lined up.
Yes. Police and fire unions, the primary concern is the pensions and benefits of their members, and they can exert a tremendous, in a private sector, the union, there's a real market out there, and the company has to still be competitive and be able to sell products and services, or they all go out, or they all, the workers lose their jobs, and the company goes out of business. In government sector unions, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And one is they don't face a test of the marketplace, and two is the unions play a huge role in electing and deciding who's on the other side of that bargaining table from them.
Yeah.
Supposedly representing the taxpayers, but actually representing in many cases the union.
Yeah. So these unions, or they cloak under a hidden name of a association, have endorsement committees and bodies and political action committees where they endorse a candidate. And then they funnel money to that candidate. And elections are largely won based on how much money is spent to be able to communicate with voters. Well, how can your ordinary average good citizen who wants to run that's not a millionaire compete with the union money that floods the mailbox with obviously mail, but, you know, phone callers, paid block walkers coming in on buses that are union organized? That is the danger that we need to see in these red states where unions are trying to get somewhat of a footing.
Huh. So does Texas allow, I infer from your question, your previous statement, does Texas allow government sector unions?
No, but no and yes. So it's voluntary. They cannot require you. They cannot pull your money, but you can form, and they do. In fact, if you go to a lot of the websites for the fire departments around Texas, you will see them identifying themselves as a union. They're not bashful about it. And some of these unions are endorsing very radical candidates that are only there to help protect pensions. It's not about public safety or anything else. It's the same thing of what we saw happen in California starting 20, 30 years ago. It's happening here in Texas as well.
Right. And at least in California, if they just limited themselves to getting as much taxpayer money as possible for their members, okay, that may not be good and may be unfair to the taxpayers. But the government employee unions, maybe not so much the police and fire, but the other ones, SEIU, they're fully into the far range of left wing politics. So you may be thinking you're a teacher, but your money is going to also go in for promoting transgender and every panoply under every left wing cause out under the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the challenge here in Texas, Florida, to every single state. Has to watch this. And that's why I always go back to California. You know, you guys are boots on the ground, seeing it every day, have lived it, and you are the cavalry coming to either educate us virtually or literally sending your people to red states to wake them up, like Paul Revere saying, you cannot sleep at the switch, guys. You cannot take your red state for granted.
Yeah. So California's function is to serve as a negative example for the rest of the country.
So, Greg, I want to mention that. Here's what I've been telling people, and I really have thought about this, is that, you know, our founders obviously allowed states to experiment with their own laws and rules so long as they don't violate the Supremacy Clause. Well, that's what's happening right now in this country. There's an experiment between red states and blue states, and blue states are losing in many ways, whether it's congressional representation, where California and New York each lost representation based on the last census cycle. And who picked those congressional seats up? Red states, Texas and Florida, you know, businesses that are moving as well. And so you do have an experiment. But I also think that for the long term strength of our nation, this could actually be good, because as these blue states begin to falter further and further down, there could be a revolution at the ballot box. I mean, God, of all places, Greg, you saw San Francisco a few weeks ago actually pushing conservative ideals like, getting criminals off the street, right? Getting drugs off the street. I mean, it's fascinating what's happening in San Francisco, the most liberal bastion in our country. And yet they're talking about conservative values to help right the ship there.
Yeah, to a point. I still wouldn't walk down the streets of San Francisco without tall boots.
Well, that's absolutely, and there's an app for that too, to keep you off the poop streets, but every street's got them. So yeah.
There was that debate between Newsom and DeSantis. Now, I didn't watch it, but when your state has poop maps, it's kind of a hard position to defend.
It is. No, absolutely.
Let's take a pause here. We're a little past our time for our commercial break and hear from our sponsors for this half. One is somebody named Attorney Gregory W. Britton, who does business and real property law at 909-335-7335. I hear he's pretty good. And Kenny White of SecureServe. Back after this.
When you go into the legal system, that journey begins with the first step, which could take many steps. But that first step is the service of process. SecureServe specializes in difficult services. SecureServe, spelled SecureServ. The website is SecureServe44.com. You can reach us at 909-735-2275. We are ready to serve you. 909-735-2275. SecureServe44.com, 909-735-2275.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton, Redlands Tea Party Patriots, Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups. Very pleased to have on the show this week, again, deep in the heart of Texas, Paul Chabot, who he moved over there, and he's misses us, but does not miss us enough to come back and move back to California. And Texas politics is also a swamp and a thicket, just like California is.
That's right.
It's just that it's a little more red than California swamp. I'll ask you, there have been reports of large numbers, like a million plus, of suspicious voter registrations happening in Texas, where they didn't have any ID, social security number only, and one has to strongly suspect that those are illegal aliens. There are instances where they've been caught handing out flyers, either in Mexico or even in this country, to the illegals, telling them to vote Democrat. They're showing up at the border saying they want to vote for Biden to keep the border open. So do you have any info on what's happening with that? Is there a big influx of registration of illegals in Texas?
So not of what we're seeing, at least here at the local level in North Texas. I would imagine that problem would be more pronounced in the bigger cities, especially the Democrat-run cities, especially where you've got Democrats running things. In the conservative areas, and remember, we've got over 250 counties in Texas, and every county manages their own individual process of voting. And so the challenge in Texas is that it's such a big state. We have so many counties. And oh, by the way, I learned here getting to Texas, the reason we have so many counties, yeah, we're a big state, but it was designed so that you could get on your horse at sunrise and make it to sunset at the other end of your county. So when you look at all these blocks across Texas of our squared out counties, that was the design, to drive or ride your horse from sunset to sundown. So we have all these different localities, and some are doing it very well and others are not. And that's where the attorney general has drilled down. We've also seen prosecutions here throughout the state, but we just don't know how much more there is going on. And it's the hidden part of this. And I think the election cycle here coming up may tell us a lot, but I don't know. I know that, thank God, Attorney General Paxton is here and back and he's fighting, but he's still outnumbered, outgunned by rhinos, where he doesn't have the support that he needs, but he does have the law. And thankfully, we have conservative justices for the most part here in Texas that are with him.
Yeah, it's an area that I'm really concerned about, because not only did they mostly not fix the problems of 2020, so the Democrats will do all those things again, why not? But I think they're going to try to register and vote millions of these illegal aliens. And from what I've read is the federal government can, when they give you a work permit, they can give you a social security number. And with a social security number, you can register to vote anywhere in the country. According to what I had read, is that they were getting people that were registering just based on a social security number. And then you check against the federal government says, yes, this person has a social security number. This is a real social security number, and they're registered to vote. Now, the illegals may not vote their own ballots.
Yeah.
But somebody may vote their ballots, and we had better get ahead of this problem, or notwithstanding wherever the polls are, is all of a sudden there's this surge of registrations and illegals voting, and you know, once that ballot's sitting there in the bin, it's hard to stop it.
It was surprising to me because I first really became aware of this in 2014 in my first run for Congress out there, where on election night, 8:05, first results come in and we're up. But over the days, these quote unquote provisional ballots really tipped the election the other way. And, you know, from a study perspective, who are these voters? How is that segment of quote unquote provisionals so different from the overall vote that you're seeing on election night? How's it tip and then keep going further and further and further away? That to me is what is fascinating and needs absolute more exploration.
We will probably never know, but I think in an honest election, you would have won the election in 2014. But again, and that's part of the problem. We don't know.
Yeah.
We cannot have confidence, given the way that the system is so loosey goosey, deliberately designed that way.
Yeah.
We cannot know.
Yep. And your provisional, not provisional, that is its own problem. These ballot box things where you can just, anybody can go ballot harvest your ballot. I mean, that, look, it might be normalized now in California after a few cycles, but that is nuts. I mean, that is the most rampant way for absolute fraud. We talk about unions organizing, knocking on doors. Yeah, collecting ballots, telling people how to vote. That the canary in the coal mine is there. In Texas, the attorney general was just able to defeat a largely Democrat pushed effort to allow people across the board without any reason to vote by mail. Right now, unless you're disabled or sick or some other reason, you got to go to the polls to vote. And that's how it should be. So we've got to learn from what's happening in California and other states, especially the ballot harvesting, to never allow that to happen here.
Does Texas use voting machines?
So we don't have, it's interesting. I've learned a lot, and there's different machines in different areas. Yes, but some areas are going back to hand count, which I think is a critical, absolute part of this. In our county, Collin County, we have machines, but then it prints out your ballot. It's a paper ballot. And then you look at it to make sure that what you put in the machine transcribes and prints it on your card. But then you take that card and then you feed that into another machine. So I don't know.
You can never be confident of a machine because you don't know what's happening inside the machine and in the software. And most of these voting machines, the software is classified, is people are not allowed to inspect it versus the paper ballot. For example, France and Argentina in last year had elections and they were paper ballots, photo ID, hand counted.
Yep.
One day election and they knew the winner that night.
That's right.
And you can have confidence in that kind of a system.
Yeah. And I love it. And I love the idea of making voting day a national holiday. And let's do away with one of the others, like President's Day. Do we really need President's Day? Let's have voting day a national holiday and put our focus on getting out the vote on that day.
Yes. But of course, that does not serve the interests of the Democrat Party, and I think there's a. I'm not sure that vote fraud is and cheating is only a Democrat issue.
No, I agree.
I think Republicans use that in places as well. And the problem is the Republic will not survive unless there are honest elections that people widely believe are honest elections. And we don't have either. We don't have honest elections, and the public increasingly believes that the elections are not honest.
That's right. And regardless of what side politically somebody is in, we want the survival of our country based on the rule of law and our Constitution, and we want to keep it that way. Without America, this world is hell. It's becoming hell in parts of America right now, which is why people are moving blue to red. But the blue is teaching us so much to the red about how to preserve that red to hopefully preserve our entire country. But we're still a grand experiment, one of the youngest republics on the planet. So we'll see where we go.
And we're also the longest surviving republic in the world and longest surviving constitution. That is all the time we have. Thanks so much, Paul, for being on the show. And look forward to, if you're going to make a visit to California, look forward to seeing you in person. And thanks for all you're doing for the cause deep in the heart of Texas. And as always, tune in next.
My pleasure. God bless.
Exciting edition of Unite IE Radio.
AM 590, The Answer.